In Parshat Achrimot, we learn about the Seder Avodah Yom HaKippurim, all of the karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, and obviously the strangest ritual amongst all of those very, very unique and special halachot is the Sar HaMishtaleach, also called the Sar LaAzazel, the goat that is sent into the wilderness, thrown off a cliff in the desert, instead of being brought as a korban like all the other animals mentioned in this week's parsha. And the Chumash says explicitly that the Kohen Gadol confesses all the sins of the Jewish people upon this goat, and v'nasa ha-se'ir alavis kol avodos samel eretz k'zeira v'shilach sa-se'ir ba-midbar, it carries all their sins out to the desert. Many of the Mefarshim wonder exactly how this magic works. Like, you can just put your sins on a goat and send them to the desert. It seems just a little too easy. And there are many, many Pirushim. We'll only touch on one or two of them. But many of the Farshim understand that you can't actually put your sins on a goat, of course, and send them to the desert. You have to do tshuva for your sins. But this goat, the Sar LaAzazel, symbolically helps us do tshuva by encouraging the tshuva process when we see this goat being sent out. How so? I'll mention two pshatim from the classic Rishonim. One, the Sefer HaChinuch says, what happens to this goat? We put all the sins on the goat, and what do we do with it? Throw it off a cliff. It rolls down the cliff, breaks into a gazillion pieces in the abandoned wilderness. Basically, a terrible fate befalls this goat. It is sent into the wilderness and killed with some terrible, painful death. What does this represent to us? It represents the wages of sin. For those of us who are perhaps complacent and think that it's not so bad to lead a lifestyle of sin, it's not so terrible, not the end of the world to violate the Torah, here we see the Kohen Gadol shows us there are two goats. One of them gets the sins, and look what happens to it. It gets punished and meets a horrible fate. Likewise, whoever sins meets a horrible fate. This is what's called old-fashioned mussar. And therefore, we will perhaps do a cheshbon nefesh and decide to mend our ways and not be like that goat who is so full of sin. However, the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, maybe we would call that a more modern mussar, a more positive spiritual psychological inspiration, as opposed to the fire and brimstone of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam says, no, this is what it represents. The two goats come together. One of them we put the sins on and send it out to the wilderness. The other one remains Lashem. The Rambam says, what does that represent? It represents the fact that we want to take all our sins and send them out to the wilderness, they'll never be heard from again. It represents the fact that what we're trying to do is take all of our bad habits, take all of our problematic patterns and behavior, and say we can actually be free of them. Lest someone think that once I've gotten into a lifestyle of sin, once I have the habit of doing the wrong thing, once I'm subject to all the worst kind of influences, I can't really cleanse myself anymore, and I can't be pure again, and I can't get rid of those sins. They'll be with me forever. I'm stuck with them till the day I die. No, just like the Kohen Gadol sends all the sins out to the desert and they're never heard from again. Likewise, if we do a good job of tshuva, we can also get rid of all our sins and they'll never be heard from again. For the Rambam, it's an inspiring message about how we really can get rid of sin if we just work hard and do it right. The Rav had a beautiful insight into this, which is brought down in Rav Avishai David's Sefer. The Medrash says, has a very, very clever insight into the Pasuk. V'nasa ha-sa'ir alav. What is sa'ir? Sa'ir is a word that, of course, it means a goat. But it also, hein echav ach esav achi ish sa'ir. Sa'ir, the hairy man, is Esav. As a matter of fact, when Yaakov wanted to dress up as Esav, he actually put skin of a sa'ir on his skin so that he would look hairy like Esav. Sa'ir is Esav. And perhaps even more specifically, that part of Esav that could be worn by Yaakov. It's called Avonotam. Avonotam could be read Avonot Tam, and Tam is V'Yakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. Says the Medrash, V'Nase Hasar Olav, Esav carries et kol Avonotam, all the Avonot of Tam, all the Averis of Yaakov are put onto Esav. And that's what the Sar Lazazel accomplishes. It takes all the Averis of Yaakov and sends them out to Esav. Okay, there's many levels of understanding this. And you see the Ramban and Achrimos also, but the Rav says, what's Pshat? Again, we magically, like, it's very nice. Oh, we love the Jews, Yaakov Ishtam, and, you know, we hate the Esav, so let's just put all our sins on him. Like, it doesn't work that way. You can't just decide to put your sins on your enemies and they'll be stuck with them. The Rav says, rather, this is an even deeper psychological insight. Says the Rav, why does a Jew sin? Says, inherently inside, we all have a Yiddish neshama. Inside, we really want to do the right thing. We really want to come close to Hashem. We really want to be over Hashem. We really want to grow in spirituality. We really want to take the right path in life. But what happens? There are influences that act upon us. Those influences that act upon us are what's called the influences of Esav. The Esav representing the evil philosophies and the evil forces that permeate human culture. It's the Esav that influence, it's the Esav in human culture, it's the Esav of society that influence us to do the wrong thing. It's not really, we don't really want to do Averis, we really want to do mitzvos. It's just those influences that come from the outside, from Esav, just like those skins that were on Yaakov's neck and his arms, which were merely outside himself, which turned him into an Esav-looking character. It's just the Esav's influence that makes us do the wrong thing. And says the Rav, what are we supposed to learn from the Sar Mishtal Leach? What's the point? Point is, how do we get rid of our Averos? How do we really believe that we can change? How do we really believe that we can become 100% tzaddikim? That we can change our path, that we can do the right thing, we can rid ourselves of all our negative attributes and elements? Says we have to believe one thing, that there is our fundamental nature, and there are those parts that are corrupted by influences of external forces. We must believe that the good things we do represent our fundamental nature. The good things we do define us. The bad things we do not define us. The bad things we do are the influence of Esav, not the fundamental Ishtam, the Tmimus, the perfection that lies inside us. And this is an exceedingly deep psychological insight, I think, that dovetails with the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim. How can someone really believe they can get rid of all their Averos? If my Averos define me, how can I get rid of my Averos? That's who I am. But if I recognize that my Averos do not define me, it's my Kedusha, my Mitzvah, my Sheifot, my desires to grow in Ruchniyat that defines me. And the Averos are an external influence that affects me. Then I can say, let me be my real sense and try to free myself from these external influences. And I think that's really the key to tshuva. V'nasar hasar alav, v'nasar hasar alav, es kol avonotam, kol avonotam. The key to growth is believing that what defines us is goodness, is kedusha, is avodas Hashem, and what does not define us is our mistakes and the influences we mistakenly gave into, and the wrong turns we made along the way. And if we can really accomplish that, then we can really realize the deepest meaning of Sar Mishtaleach and take that half of us, which is not really us, and send that Lazazel to never be heard from again in the wilderness, and remain, like the other Sar, Kulo Lashem, purely Ruchnius, purely doing the right thing, purely having the right goals in life, and grow in Torah and Mitzvot.